Good morning.
Good morning.
And good morning to you guys on the other side of the camera. And as promised, last Sunday while we was talking, we're back in church. Amen. And we're so happy to be here, and we're just excited. And I finally get to look at something other than empty benches and get to pick on people again. Isn't that exciting, guys? Say amen.
Amen.
Boy, that didn't sound very rousing. Our scripture lesson today comes from James chapter 1. Verses 1 through 12 for the sermon titled Yes and or No. While you're looking that up, the most incredibly bad thing that could ever possibly happen to me happened this past week. I actually got asked to leave a restaurant. And that's bad. You see, you laugh. I hear the chuckles. I love going to a good restaurant and I sit down to eat. And I got asked to leave because I was sitting there just finishing up my meal. It had been raining that day. I wanted something to warm me up. I was just finishing the meal up, sitting there having dessert, and the table next to me in this little cafe, whatever it was, sat these four individuals, two men and two women, and I heard the waiter, when they came to him, the waiter was reading off the specials. Today we have a sirloin steak, and we have fried chicken and all that. They said, no, no, we live a pure life. We're vegetarians. I was like, did you do this on purpose? Did you set me next to them on purpose? And I'm sitting by myself and eating, and I'm listening to them talk. And finally, they got into a rather heated discussion. And as I'm finishing up the last little bit of my dessert that came with the meal, I'm listening to them argue. And the devil came upon me. And as I was sitting there, I turned in my chair. And I said, you're vegetarians, right? They said, yes, we are. We live a clean life. I said, you don't eat no meat, do you? They said, no, we do not. I said, well, I just heard you all arguing for the past 5 minutes. I'm curious, being as you're vegetarians, would you call that having a beef? Having a beef. That's funny. I don't care what you say. James chapter 1, verse 1. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes scattered among the nations, greetings. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete and not lacking anything. If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. But when he asks, he must believe and not doubt. Because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That man should not think he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all he does. The brother in humble circumstances ought to take pride in his high position. But the one who is rich should take pride in his low position, because he will pass away like a wildflower. For the sun rises with scorching heat and withers the plant. Its blossoms falls and its beauty is destroyed. In the same way, the rich man will fade away even while he goes about his business. Blessed is the man who perseveres under trial, because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. Powerful stuff. Let us pray. Father, as we come forward today from this message, we're thanking you, we're praising you, that these words from you are ours to hear, ours to be a part of, ours to take with us on our journey, ours to be the lead, the guide, the direction of our life for this week to come. Pray, Father, that they lift us up, strengthen us, and help us when we need it most. In Jesus' name we pray. And all of his children said, amen. Now, strange title, wasn't it? Strange title for a sermon. When I say it to Wendy, I got that look. Huh? When I gave it to Diane, I'm sure she went, "Oh boy, what? Yes and or no." Now you see, that's an old statement to me. That makes a lot of sense when I think about it. Now there's two ways you can learn to understand the title of this sermon. One is you can just say, well, he's crazy and we just kind of put up with him. But the other is to understand that sometimes it's yes and no, and sometimes it's no, and sometimes it's yes. And that's our life. And as always seems to be the case, these sermons start with a moment. Something I hear, something I see, something that triggers me, something somewhere goes off in my head and everything starts flowing. I'm thinking, man, there's something to be made from a sermon there. Most of the time it's something I've read or something I see, but luckily every now and then it's a conversation I may have had this past week, and I had a lot of conversations with a lot of people this past week. It seemed to be that kind of moment. It seemed to be the culmination of everything that has been going on. I have been getting these conversations starting in last month and leading up to this point. And they all seem to have the same theme. I feel guilty, Paul. For what? Did you anger vegetarians? No? Okay. What do you feel guilty about? I feel ashamed. I feel lost. Okay, my time is now your time. I have all the time in the world for you. Please explain these feelings to me. And they ask the follow-up question, is it okay that I feel like this? Well, my answer is yes and or no. And they go, huh? So I've developed a series of questions. And we're going to play along. You at home can play along on the home game. You know, because Milton Bradley hasn't produced the Paul Leatherman preaching game yet. But I have sent them several letters. So let's get some parameters. Let's get some ground rules so I understand my audience. It's as if I don't know you. Question number one, and you are required to play along, and we will stop until you do. Question number one, are you a believer? Are you a believer?
Yes.
Okay, good. Notice I didn't ask if you're a Christian. We've had talks about that. Number two, do you believe?
Yes.
All right. So, let's stop right here before we advance to the next square in the game called Paul Leatherman's preaching malarkey. You're a believer who believes. You see, there is believers. We don't necessarily believe. There are those who say, well, I know what the Lord is, or who the Lord is, or I know Jesus Christ and I know about him. But when you say that to me and you add "but" into the end of it, you and I are about to have a long, drawn out discussion. But I don't have to have that with you. You're a believer and you believe. Next question, number three. Are you human?
Yes.
Are you sure? Because that didn't sound very good. Are you human?
Yes.
All right. Now we've established some things here. It's very important. You're believers who believe, and you're human. Now the next question, number four, is a tough question. And I want you to think about it before you respond. Okay? Have you ever been exposed to the rays of Krypton? No? Okay, good. Have you ever been bitten by a radioactive spider? No? 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 Okay. Have you ever fell into a vat of toxic chemicals? I'm just checking, making sure. I don't know. Have you ever been raised by bats? No? No? Okay, so then, let's see. Carry the one, and 2 + 2 is... Okay, got it. Then that means you ain't superhuman. That means you are a regular old God made human beings. You are not perfect yet. Say amen.
Amen.
I know it sounds trivial, and maybe I'm making light of it, but when people start those conversations with me about how they feel guilty and ashamed, it just fires me up like you can't believe. It gets me excited to talk about Jesus Christ. It gets me ready to go. Because the first thing out of my head is, what's the problem here? You know? Have you accepted him? Yeah. You believe, right? I go through the list. You believe, right? You're a believer, right? Yes, I am. You're human, right? You're not Superman or Spider-Man or Toxic Chemical Man. That's one I made up. Or Batman. So that means you're just a regular old, plain old human. And guess what? You're not perfect. Woohoo! That makes you a superhuman being. What would we call you? Imperfect person. And you have a little cape that flies out the back. It falls off every so often because you're not perfect. Right? Yes and or no. Paul, is it okay for me to feel this way? Yes and no. What? Okay. Yes, it is. And no, it's not if you take away yourself from Christ. Yes, you're allowed to feel that way. Yes, you're okay to be like that. Yes. No, don't let it take you away. God will, I always, and these are the questions that come after me. Will I always have to face trials and tribulations? Yes and no. Yes, you will face them, but not always. You will have moments of rest. You will have those moments when things simmer down for a moment. But you will face them. Will I ever have times of rest? Yes and no. You'll have times of rest, maybe for a moment, maybe for a long time, and maybe for not a long period of time. God, will you ever leave me? No. That is the no. Here's my favorite question. This is the one that I ask God. And I'm telling you, man, when I ask him, I think that the angels laugh at me because of some of the dumb things I come up with. God, will everything finally just once go my way? And you know what he says to me? No. And that's when I hear laughter. And I look around and I'm like, why would you do that? You see, it's all right there. Yes and or no. And that's the way we get to live. And it's hard, and it's miserable, and it's good, and it's comforting, and it's full, and it's a struggle, and it's a trial. Because we are human. My ear is throwing me off a little bit today. But we are human. We are going to make mistakes. We are going to fall over. We are going to doubt. We are going to question. We are going to find ourselves in the middle of our darkest moments wondering why. Thank you, Jill. And guess what?
It's okay.
Because we live in the world of yes and or no. Sometimes the answer is yes. Sometimes the answer is no. Sometimes the answer is yes and no. This scripture, James, first of all, put yourself in the mindset of James. Understand who he is. He is the brother of Jesus Christ. You imagine growing up like that, right? Hey, who are you? I'm James. Oh, yeah? Yeah, I'm Mary's other son. Hey, ain't your older brother Jesus? Yes, he is. Isn't he the one that scores all the games at the basketball games? Yes, he is. What have you done? Well, you know, I carry his gym bag there for him. I help out. Can you like touch people and heal? No, I haven't got to that point yet. Can you walk on water? I tried that and I kept getting wet. So what are you doing, James? I have learned under Jesus to understand what he offers. Oh, okay. James has an incredible responsibility with his writings because he was right there with Jesus growing up. And James sees it. And James lives it. And James starts us off at the beginning of his letters. James, a servant of God, get it, and of the Lord Jesus Christ. James, the servant of his very own brother. To the 12 tribes scattered among the nations, greetings. And then he kicks it right into gear. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kind. I bet everybody reads that and just keeps right on chugging along. Stop, go back, I'm going to read it again. We're going to key in on the word. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever. And maybe I should have renamed this sermon title, whenever. Maybe I could write a whole sermon based on that word. James does not say if. James does not say allegedly. James does not say supposedly. James says whenever, meaning you are going to face it. Be prepared. Consider it pure joy. What? You mean to tell me when everything is going wrong in my life, I'm supposed to consider it pure joy? James goes on and says, yes, because you know the testing of your faith develops perseverance, develops strength, develops where you need to be. It's easy, right? If you don't get tested on stuff every now and then, if you don't get strengthened on stuff, you get lulled into a sense of complacency. You get lulled into this place where you shouldn't be. You get to thinking, everything's all right. I've got this all under control. In case you haven't heard that statement before, that's a copyrighted Paul Leathermanism. Got it. Oh, I've got this. I've got this all under control. And my wife is the one that sits there and waits. I'm like, I'll just do this, and I got this, and I put this over here, and we got this going on, and everything's here, and I know what I'm doing, and everything's over, and then I've got this, and then bang! And light goes, blowed up in your face again, doesn't it? Well, I didn't know I married you for that reason. We live in this moment where we look at perseverance and the growth from it, from being tried and going through trials, backwards. He continues to write, If any one of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God. Prayer. Pure, plain, and simple. Who gives generously to all without finding fault. Father, I have messed up again. I'm lost. Can you help me? Yes. Can you get me out of this? And can you get me out of this quickly? Yes and no. Can you make sure that this doesn't happen again? No. But I love you. I'm here for you. I'll walk with you. Ask me and it shall be given. But when he asks, here's the hard one. He must believe. Got to believe. Father, can you help me? I believe he's going to answer me. He may not give me the answer I want. Father, I need to get away from this now. Nope, sorry, not right now. Father, I need some rest. No, not right now. Father, I need your help. Yes, I need it now. No, I need you to stay there just a little bit longer. Father, will I come out the other end of this? Yes. Then it's in your hands. Because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind. That was the other conversation I got a lot of this week, was doubt. I don't know. I mean, what if, I don't know, what if, I don't know. Stop it. I have finally had to say that. You know who is the author of your life. You know who has everything in his power. You know you're going to be taken care of. You know that if you come to God in prayer, your prayer is going to be answered and you're going to get what you need. And be humble. James goes on to write about being humble in your circumstances. That's a tough one for me. And I'm telling you straight up, I'll never shy away from the fact that I get caught up in that disaster quite often. How comes I ain't got what he's got? I do the right thing. I'm a preacher. I go to church on Sundays. You know, because it's kind of my job. Because I like it. But why ain't I got what he's got? I got a good job. I do good. I behave myself. You know, except around vegetarians. That's not what you want. Father, thank you for what you've given me. And I say that a lot in my prayers. Thank you for what you did not take away, to keep me close to you. James goes on to tell us that being rich and flowerful and pretty has its moment, but it too will fade away. How many people have seen that old saying, same size, hole in the ground, same place? We're all going to leave here. How we leave here depends on how we face what is given to us every day. And James is writing about that. He says, verse 12, blessed is the man who perseveres under trial, because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. Let me hear an amen into this room as to how many people have had trials and tribulations this week. Say amen.
Amen.
Have they been heavy? Yeah? Yeah, in your mind, they've been heavy, right? And it gives you a reason sometimes to go, what? Why? God's answer is because. Job had it all together. Born September 10th, 1819, he came from money. He was born in Bainbridge, County Down, Ballymoney, Ireland. Where do they come up with the names for these towns? He graduated with a degree from the Trinity College in Dublin in 1842. He had found the love of his life. He was going to marry her. And right before the night they were to be married, his fiancée accidentally drowned and passed away in 1843. It left Job profoundly moved. In 1845, at 25 years old, Job said, that's it. I've got to do something with what I know God has. And so he took off for Canada and he went and ministered as a missionary to the Iroquois Indians. 10 years he spent over there, working among them. Some say he left the county due to the religious influence of the Plymouth Brethren, but he wanted to go where he could be something. And he was not received. And life was hard. And finally, in 1857, he moved up to Port Hope, Ontario, where he again fell in love and was due to be married. And in August of 1860, his fiancée got pneumonia and died. Yes and or no. It was at that moment that Joe said, that's it. The rest of my life will be to teaching and helping others. In 1855, while staying with some friends there, he received a call, a note from his mother in Ireland that she was terribly, terribly ill, and he didn't know how to answer her. So he wrote her the lines of a poem that he had composed for her. Mother, are you weak? Are you heavy laden? You know Jesus is our refuge. Your friends may despise and forsake thee, but in his arms he'll take and shield thee. Send it off. Of course, there's more to the poem. It was so powerful that somehow, some way, and to this day we don't know how, that Charles Converse found the song, found the poem, and began to put it to words, and it made it into a little hymnal of 115 songs, and It kind of died. It disappeared. Until Ira Sankey found it in a Bible leaflet in Richmond, Virginia. And when he sat down and read it and walked up to the piano, Ira Sankey, D.L. Moody's music man, sat down and played it. He said the tears flowed from him. And he was determined to make that song part of his constant music wherever he went. I'm sure by now you figured out that the writer was Joe Scriven. Y'all know Joe, right? You know the song. No? What a friend we have in Jesus. Are you weak and heavy laden, cumbered with a load of care? Precious Savior, still our refuge. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Do thy friends despise, forsake thee? Take it to the Lord in prayer. In his arms he'll take and shield thee. Thou wilt find a solace there. I'm here to remind you, there will always be yes and no moments. Quite possibly more no than yes. There'll always be times that yes comes at a price and that no comes at a moment that may cause you to wonder. There will be those times that you find yourself at a threshold, and in those moments, you'll understand yes and or no. Then Moses climbed Mount Nebo from the plains of Moab to the top of the Pisgah across from Jericho. And there the Lord showed him the whole land from Gilead to Dan, all of Naphtali, the territory of Ephraim, Manasseh, all the land of Judah, as far as the western sea, the Negev, and the whole region from the valley of Jericho, the city of palms, as far as Zoar. And the Lord said to him, this is the land I promised an oath to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob when I said, I will give it to your descendants. I have let you see it with your eyes, but you will not cross over. And Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in Moab. We are led by a powerful, powerful friend. We are given everything we need to survive. And though at times, I promise you, at many times, Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and future. Kind of coincides, doesn't it, with verse 12? Blessed is the man who perseveres under trial, because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. Yes and or no. Will I have troubles? Yes. Will I have rest? Yes. Will it always be easy? Yes and no. Will you leave me? No. Never. I am your God. I am yours for as long as time will be. I bless you and I keep you. Be prepared to go through it, but not alone. And these things I have given you, saith the Lord. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank you. We thank you for that you have given, that you have taken away. We ask, Father, that you watch over and keep us in this week to come. And I know, Father, I know that there's hearts in this very room that are struggling. So, Father, my prayer right now is not just to wrap the sermon up. My prayer right now is for those hearts. I ask that you bring them peace, that you let them hear your voice in that quiet moment, that you strengthen them accordingly, Father. We thank you that you are so much to us, and what a friend we have in Jesus. Thank you, Father. In his name we pray. Amen. If you need to, the bench is open. Come on up. If you need to leave it here. If you need that prayer on the other side of the vid, then by all means reach out to me or to whom may need it. And Father, we ask that you watch over and keep each and every one of us. In Jesus' name we pray. Thank you.